Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will make himself recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let the house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Thank you, dear. Please do sit down. We have an announcement James, the church warden, is going to make, and then I will do the sermon.
Thank you.
For those who don't know me, I'm James Murdoch, one of the two church wardens here, and one of the roles of a church warden is to be the representative of the bishop in the parish. And I have been asked to read a notice from Bishop Christopher. So I will read it. Announcement for the Good Shepherd with St. Peter Lee, Sunday the 10th of August, 2025. The Bishop of Southwark and the patron of the parish are delighted to announce the appointment of the Reverend Christopher. I'm going to say
Henriette.
I say Henriette, but never mind.
It's because I'm Creole, not French. So, yeah.
Henriette for everyone. This man here. let me say it. As the next vicar of the Good Shepherd with St. Peter's Lee, several strong candidates were interviewed, and Chris came through on merit. I don't know what else you'll come through on. The panel, including Bishop Alistair and Archdeacon Chigor, are looking forward to welcoming Chris to this new and important ministry in Lee. Subject to the completion of the statutory requirements, which in Chris's case will include the successful completion and signing off of his curacy, he will be licensed as the new incumbent in the summer of 2026. We pray for Chris and his family as they prepare for this new phase of life and ministry. Signed, the Right Reverend Christopher Chesson, Bishop of Southwark, and the Reverend Manuela Skumaki, which I still also can't say, Rector of St. Margaret of Antioch, Lee, Patron of the Good Shepherd, and St. Peter Lee. I would just say some of you may have questions because there's a long period of transition. So after church, I'm happy to discuss that with anybody who wishes to discuss and ask questions about that. But for a moment, I was going to say, let's give Chris a hand of applause, but that's already been done. So let's pray for Chris and his family. Lord God, we thank you for this decision. We thank you for the future appointment of Chris as vicar of this parish. We pray that you will be with him as he completes his training, and then as he takes up his new responsibilities. And we pray that you will support Beth and all the family in all this, in this new phase of his life in service of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, James. And James wasn't even supposed to be here this week. He's come back specially to do that announcement because I'm not allowed to do it myself. So poor James has come off holiday. Oh, yes, sorry, I know, for those who are visiting, you won't have known, our vicar left about 3 months ago, 4 months ago, and I am the priest who's looking after the church in that interregnum, what we call interregnum vacancy, but I was applying for the job as well, so I was given the job, that's it. But because I won't be signed off to be a vicar till next year, there's a long wait, and it just so happens I'm also the person who's going to look after the place while we're waiting. I don't know. It seems potatoes, potatoes, but it's fine. James will explain everything later. But let's get on to this Bible verse. We welcomed Daphne into the family of God. We've baptized her and we've made some promises which hopefully she will take up for herself when she gets older. But what is that faith that we have just promised to raise her in? You all said yes. So I hope you know what you were saying yes to. What is the kingdom you hear about in this passage that we are to be given as a good gift from the Father? My understanding of the kingdom of God is that it is the place where it works. My experience of the world we live in is it often doesn't work. It doesn't work for me as someone with dyslexia and ADHD. It doesn't work for me as someone raised on an estate in Southeast London. It doesn't work for me just trying to traverse like the internet for my grandparents and my great uncle, trying to get their bills paid. It just doesn't work. Every time I come across something in this world, it seems to not work. There's something blocking it. There's some construction which is just not working. But the kingdom we are offered is the one that the person who created it is saying is the one that works. It is the place where the things fit together, where all of creation sings to the glory of God, where things are not about who's in, who's out, who's done this, who's done that, who's got the right CV, who's got the right whatever. It just isn't about that. The kingdom of God is where it works. You tell me what the it is for you. And the Christian journey that we have just said to Daphne we're going to help her with is that of being responsive to the moments where it works now. We sometimes think of heaven as being a place far away that we'll get to, but I tell you this, when it works here, is he all right? He's all right, cool. When it works here, it feels a bit like heaven, right? Like, just slots into place. Someone who maybe is injured gets healed. And that might be from a doctor, it might be miraculous, it might be whatever. But that feels like heaven. Someone who is grieving is consoled. I tell you what, when you're in that pit and somebody consoles you and it feels good, that's a bit of heaven, right? Maybe it's those who are lost who get put in a family, who find a place where they're loved. The Christian journey is responding to those moments and having gratitude to God for those things, knowing that they come from God and that God is the orchestrator. The problem is, there are things we have which stop us responding. We have possessions, we have power, we have purpose, we have jobs and roles, we have things that we hold really tightly, which mean we're unable to respond because those things need looking after, need managing. And I remember years ago when I was a manager in a charity, and it was a Christian charity, I was being trained to be the COO. I was given the offer of the power. I knew I wanted that role. I'd been doing all the work anyway. So I might as well take the top job, right? There's only COO and the CEO. And as I was being trained to do that role, I was speaking at large Christian events. I was teaching at a Christian university. I had some celebrity in the Christian subculture, not in a real celebrity. Just, it's a different thing. I'm just putting it out there. It's good, like, some places, but it doesn't work everywhere else. So I'd speak at massive kind of Christian events, and people come up to me and say, oh, you're amazing, the work you do is great. And I'd get that pride and that sense of that I'm doing good work. It was my purpose. I worked with young people who were struggling. But then something happened. I remember going for a run one Saturday morning, and my son, who's now 14, said to me, Dad, are you going to work? And I was like, no, I don't always go to work, do I? I'm just going for a run. I know it doesn't sound like me now, but I used to go for runs. And it broke something in me that my son would think that all I do is go to work. That would leave him. And after my third child was born, I decided that I needed to change something. I needed to do something different, because the things that I was holding tightly, my status, my purpose, the value of my job, being seen as some sort of celebrity, they just weren't worth it. So, to cut a long story short, I left my job. I quit in a meeting with my boss. I didn't even talk to my wife about it. It was a particularly bad meeting. I handed in my notice in that meeting. I had a particularly long notice period because I was one of the most senior members of staff. And for that whole notice period, my boss would come to me every week and be like, you know, you can take it back. I said, nope, it's fine, I'll do it. And I retrained as a childminder. And for 4 years, I stayed at home. I looked after 6 different families, kids, namely my own. That's a big part of it. And I just had a very different life. It was amazing, but it facilitated me being able to get to where I am now, which is to study and to become a priest. But the thing that stands out for me in this is all those things, that status. For 6 months, I was offered jobs. People would ask me to come and speak at events. They'd ask me to come and do training. My dad, every week, would say to me, when are you going to get a real job? I had to explain to him, I was working more hours than I ever had in my life. I supported 6 families while childminding to work, to study nursing, to get back into work as a single mum. And my three kids had me at home for 4 years. 1.5 years of that was COVID as well, which was really important. But it meant I had to hold lightly the things that had propelled me to where I wanted to go. My status, that pseudo-Christian celebrity, power, purpose, all those things had to go. It was hard. Like, I lost my identity at one point. I was thinking, oh, I don't know if I'll ever be able to do this, standing in front of people again. I felt less confident in who I was, but I was doing the right thing. I think this passage, when it spoke to me, when I was reading it, was telling me about this idea of holding things lightly, holding lightly the things that this world tells us we should hold really close. Look, we all need to earn money to live. Like, I'm not telling you quit your job now. I know there's a lot of priests who'd stand up and do that. Please don't say Chris said tomorrow, quit my job and everything will be fine. Please, no, make sure you pay your bills. But how are we to be responsive to God's call to make heaven if we're holding things really close that need to be held lightly? If our status, our power, money, are the things that we really need to feel like we're succeeding. The Christian life is about attentiveness. We build spiritual gifts and practices which allow us to connect with God and with others. I'm not going to go through loads of different spiritual gifts. There are so many because there are so many of us. One of my spiritual practices is martial arts, and I know that's going to be something that nobody else has, but I like hitting things, and I do it in a gym because otherwise I'd go to prison. But it means I get to connect with God in that moment when my brain switches off because I have ADHD. So we build up spiritual practices to help us stay connected. But we get to build them up because we hold the other stuff lightly. So, not to have a long sermon. The glimpses of heaven that we want to see, those places where it just works, they're only going to come if we're able to be attentive to God and to others. And in doing that, we need to hold some of the things lightly that would strap us down, that would make us unable to listen, to be ready. And that's what that passage said to me when I read it. Maybe there's something else in that passage that you will find because of your unique experiences. Read it again maybe later. It's in Luke 12:32-40.